the Commons, a podcast featuring researchers, innovators, artists, entrepreneurs, and community builders who are improving the human condition in your own backyard and around the globe. I'm your host, Tom Osha. Do a search on the term IUD insertion across social media channels popular with young women today, like TikTok, Reddit, or YouTube, and the pain and discomfort of the experience are the central takeaways. Now, imagine a world where the outdated and often uncomfortable methods of contraception are replaced by a groundbreaking innovation that is safe, effective, and empowering. After years of research and development, the startup company, Three Daughters, has created such a device that promises to offer women greater control over their reproductive choices without the hassle and discomfort associated with traditional methods like the inner and uterine device. This innovative device combines cutting-edge technology with a user-centered design, providing a seamless and hassle-free contraceptive solution. By harnessing the power of innovation, Three Daughters is not only changing the way we think about birth control, but also empowering women to take charge of their reproductive health in a way that was previously unimaginable. But this isn't just about inventing a new product. It is about sparking a movement. My guest today is Mary Beth Cicero, the CEO of Three Daughters, and her company is dedicated to breaking down barriers and challenging taboos surrounding women's health, ensuring that every individual has access to the tools and information they need to make informed choices about their bodies. Mary Beth and I sat down for a conversation that delves into the journey behind this groundbreaking innovation, exploring the challenges, triumphs, and future implications of a device that is poised to revolutionize women's health as we know it. Get ready to be inspired as we uncover the story behind the invention that has the potential to change the game for women everywhere. I know you will enjoy the conversation. Welcome to the Commons. My guest this morning is Mary Beth Cicero. She is the co-founder and CEO of Three Daughters. Mary Beth, welcome to the Commons.
Thank you, Tom. I'm thrilled to be here on behalf of Three Daughters.
We're thrilled to have you. We're thrilled to be able to understand how Three Daughters is really changing women's health. So talk a little bit about your first product and what you hope to achieve.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. Our first product, because Three Daughters is all about evolutionary healthcare for women, one might even call it revolutionary. Our first product, or our first evolution, is a novel intrauterine device for contraception. And we are hoping to address and disrupt the IUD market with addressing the major barrier to adoption, which is insertion pain.
So typical IUDs, one of the barriers is pain, both on pain on insertion and removal. So tell me how you've solved this problem. What makes Three Daughters approach novel?
Well, the IUDs that are currently available are all T-shaped frames with arms and dangling strings needed for removal. And our platform is frameless. It's based on physics and geometry. The physics is the magnet, which is at the core, and it's three small ellipses. The ellipses are the geometry that form into a stable triangle, conforming to woman's body and floating gently in the uterus, and that's what we hope to prove in our clinical studies.
Pretend I got a C in physics. How do the magnets know to assemble in the same triangular shape with different body types?
Well, it's basically as simple as there's a north and south pole on each magnet. Because of the elliptical shape, they're attracted to opposite poles and in that way form into the triangle because of the elliptical shape.
It seems like it was a big market. I think you had told me earlier that more women use an IUD than use the pill. So by taking pain away, it would seem that this market gets even bigger.
We think so and we hope so, and we've actually projected that this will have a dramatic effect in disrupting the market. The market in the U.S. last year was over $1.5 billion. It's been growing actually organically without any new products. So just by having a new option and a new option that addresses a significant market need, we hope to bring in younger women, that those are the ones, you know, from the publications that we've reviewed are the most scared. In fact, one of the publications we quote states that adolescent women, the fear of IUD insertion is almost universal. And when you look at some of the TikTok videos, they're enough to scare anyone away. And they get 1.4 billion views. So it keeps women from getting one of the most effective forms of contraception.
Let's back up a little bit. Where did the technology come from? What was its journey to get to where we are today?
Well, Tom, it's actually fascinating because it was developed by a world-renowned veterinary reproductive specialist at UMass Amherst. His name is Dr. Carlos Gradel, and he is amazing. He developed it for performance horses. For many years, they had inserted marbles into the uterus of horses for contraception, and there would be glass shards that would come off the marbles. So in his interest of first do no harm with these very precious animals, and obviously he views all animals as precious, he thought, I can come up with something better. So he developed the technology, tested in horses, published the data, and his data was quite robust. 100% of the time, the IUD was effective. The horses went on to breed successfully in the following season. It remained in the uterus, and he also did endometrial biopsies, so he showed that it was safe. And we used some of that data in our initial filing with the FDA. So we basically were fortunate enough to have a proof of concept in horses.
Who had the idea to take something from the veterinary equine world and bring it into the human world?
Well, I guess I would credit both Dr. Gradel and UMass Amherst with that. They initially contacted my co-founder, Shelley Amster. She's a well-known advisor in the Boston life science community. She had done a lot of work with IVF and reproduction and andrology. And she was introduced to him, and he was working with some MBAs, and we got involved with him, and Shelley and I both became just really excited and said, wow. They basically had the wrong positioning for the product, but together with our expertise and our network, we were able to just say, we want to help you with this and be able to move it forward.
Isn't it interesting how often you may have the right product and the wrong positioning, and it takes the right team to pivot it towards a market that really is ready for that kind of acceptance?
Yes. I mean, I think that a lot of what happens at universities is, you know, they have great ideas and great science, but it's really the business perspective that investors need. I have spent my whole career in the pharmaceutical industry on the sales and marketing side, and then I had a consulting practice for over 20 years, worked with over 100 clients. So I knew how to assess markets. I'd done a lot in women's health. So just being able to, I guess, see the opportunity and then reposition it was a big part of what Shelley and I brought to the table.
And the repositioning has been successful. I already noticed you've won some awards, right? The Massachusetts Life Science Innovation Day. I think you won that award in 2022 as Startup of the Year. And if I remember right, that is a Commonwealth-wide award throughout Massachusetts. So a lot of startups coming out of Massachusetts. This puts you pretty high on the mountain.
Thank you. It's all about three daughters and our mission for women. It's for me, and I think for Shelley too, it's the culmination of a long career and something that, speaking for myself, it's something I want to do for women to be able to move technology forward and address women's needs and bring more attention and more investment to this market. I was so glad that Wexford saw this opportunity as well as our current investors and have supported us every step along the way.
Proud to do so, and it was an opportunity that almost immediately resonated with both our advisors and our investment committee, and honestly, everyone I have talked to. What's it like being a woman founder?
It is a challenge. I was reading an article in Fortune the other day, and somebody was talking about what it's like to be an entrepreneur in a startup, and every day is a new day. There are challenges. I always say flexibility are us, because you set down a path and then you have to pivot. I would just say I love it. It's enthralling because it is so challenging, and it's really, really fun, especially putting all of my experience and knowledge to work, having seen good, bad, ugly, being able to say, we want to do it better. I view my job as to drive a high-performance team and, you know, motivate them, because they're the ones that are going to make it happen. I always say to them, my job is to get you the resources and get out of your way.
You've got quite a small but mighty team.
Yes.
Right? You've done a lot.
So proud of them. The 3D team, I love them.
So where does the name Three Daughters come from?
Actually, Carlos has three daughters. I love the alliteration, too. Uh-huh. Again, the MBAs at UMass Amherst, I have to credit them. They came up with, they hired somebody to do the logo, the tagline, Evolutionary Healthcare for Women. And I've been in marketing most of my career. I've seen good branding and not so good branding. And both Shelley and I just loved it. So the alliteration of the three ellipses, people remember threes. You know, three is just a really, I'm hoping, the luckiest number in the world.
Besides this job you currently have, what's been your favorite job along your path?
Every job is a favorite in some ways. I guess what I loved about consulting was that I worked with over 100 clients. So again, there, every day was a new day. And just the breadth and depth of learning so much about different therapeutic areas. But women's health was always one of my sweet spots, and became my really sweet spot over the years, because I just knew it so well, worked in contraception. And from that experience, you know, we were able to really recruit a top-notch board of scientific advisors. What I love talking to more than anything else, you know, as a longtime marketer, are the customers and the physicians and the patients. And, you know, we're able to do that on a small scale with three daughters. I mean, our scientific advisory board is the who's who in women's health, chaired by David Archer, who is a longstanding friend and colleague.
I knew David at EVMS.
David is incredible. I love him dearly.
You've raised money. What are the next steps? What happens with that money, and where does Three Daughters go from here?
Our tagline, in addition to evolutionary healthcare for women, is we execute to milestones with capital efficiency. We can deploy every dollar very efficiently to drive our program forward, because you figure in 2 years of operations, we filed patents, we got the license, we nailed down the prototypes. We've had 2 meetings with the FDA. We filed our own patents. We filed design patents last year. You know, we hired the team, and we will continue to execute and deliver. And the team is all motivated to do that and continue to raise money, because there's never enough. We're trying to complete our seed round now. We announced the first tranche of $2 million at the end of last year, and we want to rapidly get in the $1 million remaining to get to the IND and then raise a Series A of $10 million. And then we have ideas for more things to put on the ellipses. This technology platform is a platform for targeted uterine delivery.
So it can move beyond just contraception.
Absolutely. We have a second API, active pharmaceutical ingredient, identified to put on the ellipses for a new indication. And we want to do some of that drug delivery work probably after we raise the Series A, because we're just focused on toward the IND right now.
After the IND, what comes? Clinical trials then would probably come in various forms?
You know, this is so interesting, because it's called an IUD, intrauterine device. It looks like a device. It acts like a device, and it's called a device, but it's regulated as a drug by the FDA. So that means it needs a full-blown NDA, new drug application, and 3 phases, 1, 2, and 3. We know exactly what that is. We already have agreement from the FDA on phase 1, which is quite modest in terms of the number of patients and the number of cycles. We think we can complete it in about 6 months. And from there, we will look for a commercial partnership, then continue to develop the first product and as well as additional products. And that will then open up opportunities for additional ways to bring funding into the company.
You have quite a bright future and pathway ahead. What would be a piece of advice that you might want to offer, let's say, young women coming out of university looking to get in the biotech field and follow in your own footsteps?
I like to say it's women helping women help women. And I like to believe that I would do anything to help other women. I wouldn't want to see them follow in my footsteps. I would like to see them create their own footsteps. Be curious. Take on roles that are scary. And I've met so many incredible women. I just want to see women helping other women help women.
I love it. I love it. So it's our final question. Who inspires you?
You know, I haven't been asked that question in a long time. But the first person that popped in my head is my father, who has been dead for a long time, but nothing was ever good enough for him. That's probably one of the bad things, because my first district manager when I was a sales rep said to me, "I never have to worry about you. You're always trying to please daddy." But the second thing is he never said, "You can't do something. You can't get into this school." Initially, I wanted to go to medical school. The sky was always the limit. And I view it as very important for my daughter to have a relationship with her father. Mothers and daughters are unnatural, but every father out there, I would encourage you to inspire your daughter and not just go on the baseball field with your son, but be actively involved in your daughter's life.
I bet your father would be very proud of you today.
I hope so.
Bet he would be. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your perspective. Thank you for what you're doing to disrupt women's health.
I have to have the last thank you, Tom. I'm sorry. Thank you for making it possible. Because without our investors, and I call them our 3D investor family. Again, alliteration of the three. And we're setting up a three daughters club because I've met so many people that have three daughters. And we just want to acknowledge all the daughters out there.
Wonderful.
And the mothers.
Exactly. And thank you so much. We appreciate that. We are proud to be part of the Three Daughters family.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Mary Beth Cicero. She is the co-founder and CEO of Three Daughters. I'm Tom Osha, and this has been The Commons.
The Commons is a production of Wexford Science and Technology, LLC. Views and opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guest. To view additional material about today's episode, submit questions or story ideas, or learn more about Wexford Science and Technology, please visit www.wexfordscitech.com/thecommons. I'm your host, Tom Osha. Thanks for listening.